California faces a school library crisis due to the lack of a designated state funding source, leading to limited books, fewer librarians, and many schools without functioning libraries. Access Books Bay Area aims to address this issue by providing high-quality, culturally relevant books and transforming school library spaces. Their goal is to improve literacy for K-8 students in low-income areas, creating inviting environments that foster a love of reading. You can help this effort to bridge the literacy gap by donating and finding out more at accessbooksbayarea.org.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Shoot, star! A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Eklund feeds it over to Froehlich in front.
And a shot score!
Wow.
What a goal by Macklin Celebrini. 5 minutes, 52 seconds, a tic-tac-toe play. It got to the middle of Eklund, but he dished it off to the outside, and then Celebrini snuck behind, got that pass, and put it up top. And what a spectacular goal by Macklin Celebrini to put the Sharks in front 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I understand, like, you know, working hard and coming close to win, but at the end of the day, you lose games, and that's not good enough, in my opinion. And I think that's the opinion that that's what he's trying to get across as well. And obviously, you know, when, you know, we trade two key players, you know, from our team, things are going to change a little bit. But like I said, it's an opportunity for guys to step up. And I've been in the league long enough where we play against teams, you know, when I'm on a playoff team and we're playing teams that are calling guys up and guys are getting really, you know, really good opportunities and they work their nuts off and they're really hard to play against. So that's what we're going to have to do here.
All right, what's happening, everyone? Good morning. It is a Wednesday, early February, as the Sharks have their first game since the end of January and since the Mikhail Granlund-Cody Ceci trade. And considering the Sharks' last performance was a little bit demoralizing in that loss to Seattle on the 30th, it was good to see the Sharks bounce back in a performance like this, especially considering it happened after the trade. And I think that there was an opportunity to have excuses built in to say, well, we just don't have the talent that we had previously. We lost two of our more important experienced veterans, and we just weren't going to have the effort there tonight. But instead, the Sharks put out a really good battle. I thought they showed really good effort. I thought that they battled from start to finish. I know that there are no moral victories, but there is the sense that the San Jose Sharks have been playing across the board more competitive hockey this year. And it starts and finishes with guys like Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli, as well as Will Smith, guys that were not on the roster last year. I think that it's important to acknowledge that there is more talent in San Jose, even with the players that have left in the trade, like Granlund and Ceci and Mackenzie Blackwood. The Sharks this year are just a better team. Now, I know that you can make the argument that the records are similar, but I would go to the goal differential. I would go to the competitive games. I would go to the Sharks' overall ability to give themselves a chance in any given game. But, you know, I think there's a lot to like out of last night's game. You've got Tyler Toffoli with a goal and an assist. You've got Macklin Celebrini with a goal and an assist. Barclay Goodrow, Jake Wallman, William Eklund, they all get assists in this game as well. And Colin Graf got his first NHL goal. And I really want to talk about Colin Graf because with the injuries the Sharks are dealing with the trade, they need more forwards. So Colin Graf, after he came up previously, goes back down to the Barracuda. He is told that he needs to be more offensive in his game. I think that with Colin Graf, as I like to say about him, I really like his entire game, his two-way game. He's got a great defense, and I think you saw a lot of that offensive ability. But I think that when he was up the last time, he was focused so much on not having a mistake to his credit, on not making the wrong play, that he was tentative on offense a little bit more so. And last night, I would not say that there was a reckless abandon or anything like that, but you could just see that there was more aggression in his game. And I think that that's part of the learning process that it takes for young players, where Colin Graf was up for a little bit with San Jose. He goes back down and then he comes back up. And this time when he comes back up, he looks like he's much more well-armed to handle what the game is going to be throwing at him. He looks like he's much more capable of understanding what he's going to do. And that to me is why he's able to have more success in this specific game as opposed to what we saw previously. And that tells me that he's headed in the right direction and that the path that he and other young Sharks are on are working, essentially. And I think that's all you can really ask for, is just that it works, that it looks like it's going to yield the results that you want it to. Now, obviously, he's far from a complete player. We don't know what type of a player he's going to be when all is said and done. But I do think that when you look at a player like Colin Graf, you see the immediate improvement from one stint in the NHL to the next. That doesn't happen by accident. He came up, learned about his game, went down to the AHL, was more, a better player at that point from playing in the National. And then when he gets his chance again, he has the specific improvements in mind to make himself a better player, more experience, more in his back pocket. And he comes up and he scores his first National Hockey League goal, which was an awesome moment, which was a great shot, and showed that his personal pathway to success is on the right course right now. Last night, Will Smith, also, even though he did not register a point in this game, I keep on seeing more and more from him in terms of his defense. I keep on seeing his playmaking ability, more and more the vision that he displayed earlier in his career at the collegiate level in particular. You can see that happening, and it takes time for all these guys. And I have been joking that everybody wants these guys to be complete products yesterday. And yes, I too would love for them to be complete products as of yesterday. But I do think that it's important to acknowledge that there is progress being made, even in the games where these not, you know, where they're not scoring points, be it Macklin or Will or Colin or Shakir McMedulin or any of these guys. But for Will Smith in last night's game, you saw more and more of that processing power. You saw more and more that the game is slowing down for him and that he is being able to take it all in with a little bit more calm to his game. I think what I saw from Will Smith earlier in this year is that he was hurried in his decision-making, that he was trying very hard to make something happen and wanted to make sure that he was making the right play, kind of like Colin Graf, and it was just leading to him to be tentative or a little bit unsure of himself. And now with Will Smith, you just see he's that much more smooth in his puck handling. He's that much more decisive in his passing. He's that much more aware of what is around him. And that's exactly what should be happening. These guys need to learn about what is happening and what they see out there on the ice. It's not going to be linear that we always talk about. It's not like they just get better and better a little bit incrementally each couple of games. But I think that when you see improvement, especially consistent improvement, that's the most important thing to me. I look at his game and I think to myself, okay, do I see the things that I want to see even in a game where he's not getting, you know, goals and assists? And that answer to me is definitively a yes. I think you have to look at these young players. You can't just judge it with goals and assists or wins. You have to look and see if they are more comfortable on the ice. And the answer obviously is yes. Macklin Celebrini last night scores his 17th goal of the season and continues to look just absolutely phenomenal. I look more and more at his overall game and just continue to be impressed. And one of the things that I keep on going back to is this quote from Craig Button that I had when I spoke to him right before the Sharks drafted Celebrini in the first overall position last year. Check it out.
There is no area of the game that Macklin Celebrini is not going to be able to impact. When he's out on the ice, like wherever he is on the ice, whatever situation he is in, he's going to be able to impact the game in a positive manner. That's what Jonathan Toews did. And, you think about franchise players. That's what you're calling a player of this ilk to do, to make an impact on your team in all the situations. And I don't have any doubt that Macklin will do that. I look at the San Jose Sharks. I see Will Smith, who was the fourth overall pick last year. I see Macklin Celebrini, who's going to be the first overall pick this year. And it conjures up the idea that the Pittsburgh Penguins, before they drafted Sidney Crosby, they had Evgeny Malkin. Well, for the San Jose Sharks, their Evgeny Malkin is Will Smith. And like Sidney Crosby, I think Macklin Celebrini can come into the San Jose Sharks and eventually help them be competitive for Stanley Cups.
And so a credit for Craig Button of TSN to be completely on the nose in that capacity. But I think that when you watch Macklin Celebrini play right now, and this is something that I'm noticing more and more with regards to Craig's comments about him impacting every single aspect of the game when he's out there on the ice, that is an incredibly accurate assessment of what Macklin Celebrini does out there. When he is on the ice and working offensively, It feels like the entirety of the game is revolving around where he is or is not. And the same thing goes to where he is on defense. And I think that the interesting thing to me about Celebrini is that there is a not quite recklessness to his game, but there is an aggression and a risk-taking that you don't see from players of his age. And he's willing to go out there and try and make a move on offense or try and steal a puck on defense to where other players might not be willing to make that risk, especially at this point of their career. But with Macklin, he goes and does it anyway. But the thing is it's not, for the most part, yielding poor results. Like, he's not getting himself caught out, or he's not putting himself in a very, you know, bad position. I think that's the thing, is his athletic ability and his explosiveness was probably the most underrated aspect of his game when he entered the league. He was simply looked at as not being the same type of athlete as a Bedard or a McDavid or some of these other guys, because maybe he just wasn't as tall and maybe wasn't as, you know, top end speed quite the same way. But there's such an explosiveness to his game. There's such a bounce that when he, you know, can make a play to try and steal a puck or try and deke a guy one way and then jump back into the lane to try and break things up, that even if he over jumps or even if he commits in the wrong direction, he's so quick to recover. That to me is what's setting him apart right now. And, you know, he can take risks on offense and he can take risks on defense, and you don't feel like it's hurting the team. And I know there have been times this year where he's turned the puck over, and I can't really hold it against him, because his success rate at so many of those risks that he takes, it comes through as a positive. And I think you just have to look at him and say, okay, you take the good with the bad. He's 18 years old. I can't judge him on the standard of a player that's 5 years into their NHL career and has to quote unquote know better, because I think that he does know that there's a pretty good chance that he can make that play happen, and that he's also learning what risks he can and can't take. But for the most part, it's not like he's hurting the team, but I think that he's such a wild card in the aspect of the way he plays on offense and on defense, that it's really the aspect of his game that none of us could appreciate. And I remember that there was, you know, just a recklessness to the game of a young Tim Lincecum. You know, he was effectively wild at times. And I look at a young Derrick Rose, right, or Dwayne Wade, and saw how they were, you know, effectively unpredictable, and there was an air of recklessness about their games. And that's what I feel like I'm watching with a Macklin Celebrini. And it's really, really fun, because he feels like he brings a wild card dynamic that is unique to the game when he is out there on the ice. And, you know, I don't know if that is specifically what Craig Button was alluding to beyond his more natural skill set, but I do see in Macklin Celebrini a guy that everybody's wondering, where is he on offense? Where is he on defense? The game is dictated by where he is or is not, shift in, shift out, when he's on the ice. Overall for San Jose, I was not particularly disappointed with the game. I think that there were some things that you liked. There were some things you didn't like. It came out with aggression early on. You know, their power play looked pretty good. They had two power play goals throughout the course of the game. That is a very, very good thing to see. You know, obviously there have been so many times this year where the power play has not been nearly good enough, so that's something that I look at as a positive. This was not the best game we've ever seen from San Jose. It was not the worst game we've ever seen. And I think that, you know, Montreal is just a little bit ahead of where the Sharks are. And hopefully in a year's time, the Sharks will be able to win these games against beatable opponents consistently at home. To me, that is the ultimate goal for San Jose, just to be able to make sure that when they have a beatable opponent at home that's not one of the top teams out there in the NHL, that they're able to take advantage. And you know, the Sharks right now, they have played 55 games, 15 wins, 34 losses, 6 overtime losses. You compare that to where a team like Montreal is right now, and Montreal is 25, 23, and 5. They've got 55 points on the year. That is hopefully where the Sharks want to be a year from now, where they've got more wins than losses in the first two columns. And then, you know, overtime losses, sometimes those are in and out of your control. Anything can happen when a game goes to OT, but you know, I think that's probably where the Sharks want to be in a year's time, to where they're heading towards, you know, at least 30 victories. Obviously, that's a long way to go, but for the San Jose Sharks, we've seen the immediate improvement from last year to this year. There is more talent on the ice. Young players are developing. There is hopefully going to be that much more to cheer for next year in San Jose. Let's get a look at some of these highlights from last night's game. Macklin Celebrini got things going for San Jose.
Now Eklund feeds it over to Froehlich in front. And the shot score!
Wow.
What a goal by Macklin Celebrini. 5 minutes, 52 seconds, a tic-tac-toe play. It got to the middle of Eklund, but he dished it off to the outside, and then Celebrini snuck behind, got that pass, and put it up top. And what a spectacular goal by Macklin Celebrini to put the Sharks in front 1-0.
Absolutely phenomenal hockey on display from San Jose. Celebrini said after the game that the puck moved so well, there was ever a play that was going to have four assists on it, that should have been the one. And, you know, that was a good comment, and just watching everybody just boom, 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 moving the puck. And then Celebrini's there backdoor. Just beautiful, beautiful hockey from San Jose. A much needed power play goal and gave them momentum early on. And I think that for them to get that play early on, to get that goal, that was something they needed to kind of assert themselves to steady the team after that trade of Granlund and CeCe. And I know that it's never that quote-unquote direct, but to see that type of a goal that early in the game, that was a good sign of what was going to come from San Jose. Montreal, to their credit, would push back, though, early in the second period on the power play. They score a goal to make it 1-1 just 52 seconds into the second period. And then at 4:53, they take a 2-1 lead, and San Jose needs to settle things down. They do for the next 10 minutes. And then finally, Colin Graf breaks through.
Barkley Goodrow's back in his own zone for the Sharks. Barkley pushes it ahead. Here's Colin Graf gathering it. Moves down the left wing. Moves into the zone. Shoots. Score! Colin Graf puts the puck into the net. And the youngster gets his first National Hockey League goal. That ties the game 2-2. And the crowd explodes in excitement. NSAP Center with 5:09 to go in the second.
An absolute snipe from Colin Graf. He earned that goal, his first in the National Hockey League. A very, very exciting moment. And for the San Jose Sharks, it's 2-2 once again. We go to the third period. Brendan Gallagher off a power play gives the Canadiens a 3-2 lead. And then Tyler Toffoli, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Jake Walman, goes on a run with a beautiful mini breakaway backhand goal.
Let's see what the Sharks do. Oh. Celebrini, lead pass. Toffoli breaking in by himself. Backhander, score!
Yeah.
Backhander into the net for Tyler Toffoli on a perfect feed from Macklin Celebrini. And Toffoli, who's had several great chances to put the puck in the net, blasts one home on this one. A huge one. A power play goal for Tyler Toffoli, his 19th of the year. And Celebrini with a sweet assist, as you can see.
Walman finds Celebrini, who then threads the needle beautifully to feed Tyler Toffoli and give San Jose a lead. Just an absolutely phenomenal bit of hockey for San Jose. And Tyler Toffoli, so cool, so calm, so collected, puts it on his backhand and scores. You're thinking 3-3 game. At this point would come one of the more frustrating points of the game. A brilliant, brilliant save to deny Celebrini and the Sharks from taking the lead.
Dumped into the corner, Eklund, right wing side, back to the right wing half board, Celebrini to the point. Walman holds it, watched there by Evans, tosses over to the far side to Will Smith, walks into the circle, shoots from the net, save made, rebound, Celebrini there, and he couldn't lift it over Montembeau. Celebrini couldn't believe he couldn't get it up high enough, but it was stopped by the Canadiens goaltender and he hangs on.
You could just see Celebrini's head drop in disbelief that the save was made, that he was denied, and that would have been an incredible opportunity for the San Jose Sharks to take control of the game. And then it all went in the opposite direction. The Sharks on a power play, and Montreal on the kill, the turning point of this game.
3-3 the score. Podorowski on the ice. Does a great job with his own entry and holding onto the puck under pressure. Now he keeps it in play. Tried to slide it off to the left, but it's intercepted. 2-on-1 Montreal. Evans moving in to the right wing side. Shot. Score! Armia scores shorthanded. That's the seventh shorthanded goal the Canadiens have scored this year. And Montreal takes a 4-3 lead with 4:04 to play.
The Sharks did not have the answer. They had some good looks when they pulled the goalie and had an extra attacker, but they couldn't find the equalizer. They fall by a final of 4-3. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsawski after last night's game.
Yeah, I thought I liked their effort. You know, I thought our guys competed. We skated, did some things that we've talked about the last couple days. Just sucks getting the result.
And sometimes that is just the reality. You lose to a better team.
Yeah, I thought, again, I liked our compete. I liked what we did. Did some good things. Breakouts were a little bit better. Obviously, some things we could get better with. But I liked a lot of things we did tonight.
And that was the refrain from Ryan Warsofsky. But I'd like to change gears now. I've got an interview with the one and only Macklin Celebrini that I did on Monday. I would like you all to hear. Enjoy. All right, we are here with Macklin Celebrini on a Monday before the Sharks have three games before the Four Nations break. First off, man, how you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
How was it to have a couple of days off just because the schedule has been so insane for you guys up to this point of the year?
Yeah, it was nice to get a couple of days rest and recharge a little bit.
This is obviously the most games you've played in your career, obviously very condensed. How does your body feel after a couple of days to get that recharge?
It helps for sure. Just getting a little bit of a break. I think it helps a lot with the energy and soreness.
Yeah. Do you feel more the joints, the muscles, or what feels better today?
I don't know.
Just all feels a little bit better.
Yeah.
Nice. You ever think about how different your life is right now compared to what it was like a year ago?
No, I don't really think about it much. Obviously when we went back to Boston, seeing all my old buddies, kind of think about it a little bit, but not really.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, is it, I guess people are always asking you all these types of questions and big picture stuff. And you're like, hey guys, I'm just trying to do this day by day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. What's in terms of your routine change now that you get to focus on the, you know, the eat, sleep, train, play hockey lifestyle?
I mean, nothing really. The only thing that's different is I'm not doing school. So, yeah,
no homework
really changed yet.
In terms of just the aspect of the pro game, is it more detailed in terms of video? Is it more detailed in terms of body prep? Like, how has that changed for you?
Nothing really. I mean, it's all pretty similar. It's just another level. And yeah, I mean, there's not much difference.
Nice. When you get out there on the ice on a game night, like where you were in Boston, did you take a second to reflect on it, or was it just like any other game for you?
Oh, I mean, it's cool to kind of see my buddies and my brother and stuff that were out there, but I mean, when you get to the rink, it's a game. So, yeah.
How much fun was it to have your dad out there on the Fathers and Mentors trip?
Oh, it was awesome. Having all the dads there, kind of meeting all of them, and then having my dad there is a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, is it? Do you see a lot of similarities between everybody else's dads that are there, like in the way that they kind of took their, you know, way about raising you guys to be professional athletes?
100%. I think every dad, if you look at them and you talk to them, you can kind of tell who's who from the guys in the room. So I thought that was pretty funny.
I saw you got out to a Warriors game the other night. This time they put Will up on the screen with you. Did you appreciate that?
Yeah. That was funny.
All right. How is your game? Because I know when I talked to Will right after the holidays, he said that you guys went 50-50 when you're playing 21 and one-on-one. Is that true, or is he maybe fudging it a little bit?
No, I think it's pretty even. I mean, we battle hard, so I think it's a pretty even battle.
Who's got the better jumper? Because you obviously spent some time around NBA players, but he's got the baseball background. Those dudes tend to have pretty good jump shots.
Yeah, I don't know. Neither of them are very good.
So what are you doing when you're not here at the rink right now? How do you go out there and just try and relax? Because, I mean, even Will said it when I talked to him. He's like, we're still kids. You know, we're 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, I mean, just hang out. There isn't much. Play golf. I guess we're lucky with that, with the weather and stuff. Yeah. But I don't know. Nothing too crazy.
Nothing too crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You're 18, 19 years old. You can't get away with everything in society yet. Do you get people coming up to you from time to time?
A little bit. Yeah. Throughout the Bay.
Is that cool? Are you flattered by it?
Not really. It's just kind of just what it is.
You're just not that impressed with yourself. You're just kind of like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Is it fun being a Shark, considering you had the background with this franchise when you were younger in your teenage years?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, having that connection when I played here for a year, kind of in these rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
But, it's a cool kind of connection.
How do you take in your game at this point of the career? Like, are you, you know, you're not 50 games in because you had the 12 that you missed, but are you looking at each game and saying, this is where I need to improve, or are you trying to just work on skills, you know, month to month, week to week type deal? How are you judging yourself?
I think every performance you kind of look back, watch film, and try to get better. You're never going to be perfect, so just looking at your mistakes and stuff you can do better.
Are you your own worst critic? Are you harsher on yourself than the coaching staff?
I don't know. I probably, yeah.
Is there a game where you've gone back and watched some replays and said, okay, these are things that I did well and you were happy with your performance, or are you generally not particularly happy with your performance no matter how many points you put on the board?
No, I mean, I'm happy with my performance when I play well. I'm not a psychopath. Like, I know when I play well, and I'm happy with it. But also, there are some times where I don't, and you kind of got to look back at that and work on some things.
Do you look more at your off-the-puck play in terms of judging yourself?
I think it's just everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
Is it hard to look, though, at everything, though, and say, like, that's where I want to improve?
No. I mean, you can kind of see it when you're watching, like, whether it's, like, a T-zone kind of thing or positional kind of thing. It's just kind of habits and stuff you can learn from.
What's the biggest transition from the collegiate level?
I think that's just the speed, the ability of the other players on the ice, and the physicality. It's everything's just kind of another level up.
Yeah. Do your friends text you articles and stuff that they're reading where your name is mentioned? Do you try to ignore it?
No.
Because I was talking to Mario, asking him. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm from Toronto. He's like, my boys send me a lot of stuff. But I would imagine that, I mean, you hear about the media presence around you to an extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just do your best to ignore it?
Yeah. I don't really pay attention to it.
Is that what somebody like your dad or a Draymond Green told you?
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to my dad and other athletes about it, and they you can't really focus on that stuff, and the more you kind of play, the more you realize it's like, when you play well, they'll say you're doing well, and you to play bad, they're gonna tell you play bad. So sorry, you already know what they're telling.
Yeah. Looking at these three games coming up before the break, what are you and the team focused on?
I mean, I think just getting points here. Obviously coming off a tough loss, so we're just kind of get back to what we were doing in the game before when we won against Pittsburgh.
That game against Pittsburgh, I was talking to Mario about it, and he was saying every team in the NHL is so good, and I was laughing at that because people were saying that Pittsburgh's having a down year, but I'm thinking to myself, you're going up against Sid, you're going up against Erik Karlsson. It's not like that team is lacking in talent. I mean, that's how hard it is to win in this league.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it just shows how hard it is to win, and I mean, you need all the right pieces to kind of string some games together, so.
Was it pretty cool to go out there and play against Sid?
Yeah, I mean, we faced him back in November, mm-hmm. I think. So I think just kind of, it is another cool experience.
Yeah, and like, have you worked past all those firsts? Like, is there still a first that you're thinking about that you're about to experience before the season comes to a close?
Not really.
You don't think that far ahead?
No.
That's cool. And I think that's the hardest thing, because I think a lot of people from the outside perspective, they think about how they're judging it. But I'm sure for you, if you got caught up thinking about all the firsts of what you're going to go through, that would just make it that much more complicated when you want to focus on the game itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything that you've looked at in terms of a game where you've said, like, even if the points didn't reflect it, like, this has been my best game so far, or does it usually reflect itself in the points?
No, I mean, I played some pretty good games where I haven't gotten any points or anything like that, and I mean, you're still happy with the game because you played well, and a couple of those games we won, so mm-hmm. obviously every time you get to win, it's you're happy no matter what, so yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, that game against Marc-Andre Fleury in the Wild, you had something like 16 shots, you were driving the lines nonstop, and you didn't walk away with a goal out of that game. Obviously, you're going up against one of the best of all time in front of the net, so do you walk away from a game like that and think, like, yeah, I played well, or were you just frustrated because the team, you know, didn't put up 2 points when all was said and done?
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating not winning that game because I thought we did a lot of things right, and I thought I played well, so it was frustrating not winning, and I mean, like those games, it's tough to kind of come away happy with it.
Yeah, this is your first time doing the NHL trade deadline. Obviously, McKenzie got traded back earlier in December. Is that tough for you? Because I'm sure you're just starting to make relationships with these guys, like a Mikael Granlund, like a Cody Ceci, and previously McKenzie Blackwood.
Yeah, it's tough. Those guys are great guys, and guys I looked up to and talked to all the time. So to lose those guys, it's tough.
Nice. Well, I will let you go, Macklin. I appreciate your time, man, and I'll bug you soon, all right?
Thank you.
Again, great stuff there from Macklin Celebrini. We're getting to know more and more about him as we get deeper into his very, very young career. But watching him score, watching him have great results, watching him continue to develop as a player, it's a whole lot of fun. And I think that if there is going to be a takeaway from this season, it is going to be that we watched Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Yaroslav Askarov and Colin Graf and a lot of these young players, Shakir Mukmadulin, we're going to watch them turn into players of the future. We're going to remember that we saw these first steps being taken, and that is what is going to precede the success. Baby steps first before you can start running. We're out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi.